I invite you to take your Bibles now and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're continuing on here in this book on Sunday night, and we're approaching the end. We just have one more chapter after chapter 23 here, and we will have gone through, Lord willing, 1 and 2 Samuel. We were remembering that a year ago this Sunday, we were coming to our evening service, and we had a deer jump right out in front of us and hit a deer, and it rolled across the road a couple times, and then it got up. And don't know what happened to it after that, but it did total our van a year ago. So that was quite a hassle. It involved, 2 months or so of trying to figure out what to do. But so we were remembering that it was the time change Sunday when that happened. And sure enough, Sparta Road, as we were coming in from Fredericktown, sure enough, we saw a deer in the exact same spot where we hit him last year, and tried to go a little bit slower this time and hopefully avoid them. So I don't know what it is, maybe the time. You know, obviously they don't change their clocks back, and they're just doing what they're doing. But got to watch out for them all the time. Here in high school, I'm sure you remember that those who make good grades are placed on an honor roll. Usually they have some sort of honor roll. In college, that's called Dean's List. And sometimes you get some Latin honors that go along with that in college. Cum laude, or magna cum laude, or summa cum laude. And those are all different levels of honor, usually based on the academic record that a student achieves during their time in college. And in the Bible, we have honor rolls as well. And here in this chapter, we have an honor roll, David's mighty men. And we see a listing of names, and we're going to look at that here tonight. Chapter 22, we saw the psalm of praise for God's deliverance. We spent 2 weeks on that, and then a few weeks ago or so, last time we were in this, in chapter 23, verses 1 through 7, we have another short psalm. And in poetic form, we're encouraged to remember several things. The scripture in verses 1 through 3, how David was used to write the scripture, but also the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, he says, and his word was in my tongue. And we saw the Messiah there in verse 3, and we saw the covenant of verse 5. David reminding us of the everlasting covenant that God had made with him. And then God's justice in verses 6 through 7. As David speaks of God's dealing with his enemies as well. But then in verses 8 through the end of the chapter, verse 39, we have this honor roll of David's mighty men. Now we look at that and we think, oh, this is just another list. And it is a list. And there are lists in the Bible. And we might come to God's Word sometimes, and we have our expectations about what we want to be taught sometimes from God's Word. And yet we come to a passage like this, and we have to kind of adjust our view of what is important. In the New Testament as well, Paul has honor rolls. He has lists of certain Christians and their actions. Such as in Romans chapter 16, we have a listing of people who did various things that Paul was aware of. But God obviously believes that these people and these lists are worthy of inclusion in the Bible. And so we have to recognize that and learn that God notices our actions. God notices our attitudes. Even if no one else does. And so as we look at the men on this list, David's mighty men, want to just notice some of the qualities that stand out in these men. We learn a few things about them. And so I'm going to pick it up here in verse 8. It says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil." The first quality that I want to just highlight here that we see is simply courage against the odds. Courage against the odds. We see that with these first mighty men. This man, Adino, the Esnite, in verse 8, he lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. You know, that's quite a difference, 1 to 800. And yet we see this man was willing to stand up and fight the enemy, even though the odds were against him. The odds may be a couple others for us. One of us versus a couple others who are following the wrong crowd, or maybe even just one other. Or they may be overwhelming, such as in this case. But we see here that God rewards courage and commitment, even though it's against the odds. We see that it says the Lord wrought a great victory that day. The Lord wrought a great victory. And then as we look at this man, Eleazar, in verse 9 and 10, we see the quality of not quitting. Not quitting. Eleazar, it says, he battled in verse 10. He rose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to the spoil. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to your hand. You know, maybe not with a sword, but maybe with something else. Paintbrush or something, you know, you just keep going, a roller, and eventually your hand kind of gets just stuck to that thing. That's what happened with this man, Eleazar, one of David's mighty men. He continued to fight even though he was weary and his hand was stuck to that sword. And again, the Lord rewarded that. The Lord wrought a great victory, it says in verse 10. So not quitting. You know, maybe the best thing that you can do when you don't know what else to do is simply to not quit. And that should be especially the case when it comes to our service for the Lord, when it comes to our following Christ. We need to make sure that we keep doing that, that we keep following the Lord. We don't quit, even though the odds may be against us. And then a third quality that we see here is just not running away. Look at verse 11. Here's another one of these mighty men, Shammah. "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory." So here is this man, Shammah, and he is in a situation where he's standing there in this piece of farmland, a field of lentils. You know, I think we've got some of those around us, maybe to the north here. They got lentils up here in this field, I think so. Some beans, that's a bean field, right? And here he is, he's standing in that, and everybody runs away. The people fled from the Philistines, verse 11 says, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And there again, we see the Lord rewarding this quality. He could have gotten discouraged, look around, there's nobody else. Everybody's running away. Why don't I just go with them? But no, he stood his ground and he was rewarded by the Lord with a great victory. We got to be careful sometimes that we don't just look around and see what everybody else is doing and just sort of run the other direction with them. You know, they may be wrong. The majority is not always in the right. They can be the majority wrong. And here's this man who was willing to not run away. The Lord rewarded that. And then in verses 13 through 17, we have a brief account of something else that some of David's men did. Look at verse 13. And the three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it." These things did these three mighty men. And then a fourth quality that I want to point out with this is just that quality of willingness. Willingness. We are not told the exact time frame of when this happened, but we know it was a time when the Philistines were fighting. And we see that David was in that cave of Adullam. That was a cave that we read about early on before David became king when he was running from Saul. He gathered his men there in that cave of Adullam. And David just makes a comment, it seems, that he would really like to have a drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem. Of course, that was his hometown. And maybe that was the well that he grew up getting water from as a boy. And he knew how good it was, how maybe clear and cold it was. And so these three mighty men, they didn't have a command to go and do that, but they decide that they are going to go and get that drink from that well of Bethlehem. And so they do that. They take a risk there. They put their lives in danger, and they bring back this water to David. And then, of course, David refuses to drink that water. He basically gives it to the Lord in verse 16. It says, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. He makes it into an offering, a drink offering of sorts. And he also relates that to the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives. In verse 17, he says, "Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it." But we see that these men had a tremendous willingness to do almost anything to serve David. It was just a wish that they found out that David had. But they they didn't say, but David's wish was their command, as the saying goes. And they were willing to do that for him. They jumped at the chance to fulfill that. You know, we need to have that same quality when it comes to our service for Christ, when it comes to our service for God. These men were serving David, and they were doing that in service to God. David was God's man. God had his covenant with David. But we serve Christ. We serve the Lord. We serve God. And how's our willingness to do that? You know, what does it take for us to do something for the Lord? Would it just be sort of a passing thing, like in this situation that we hear of some need, and are we willing to meet that need? Or does it take a little bit more for us to be willing? We need to have that willingness to serve Christ. We need to see that He's done so much for us, and what can we do for Him? Then, of course, we see David giving God the glory here. David was in a position where he had to be careful that he did give glory to the Lord. He had these mighty men, numerous soldiers and servants that were serving him. And he could have thought, well, I'll just sort of enjoy this. And, I deserve this maybe. But David was very careful, even in the position that he was in, that he gave God the praise, that he gave God the glory that he deserved. And we see him doing that here. We need to be careful to do that. We should not accept glory that truly belongs to the Lord. So willingness. And then we come here to two more men in verses 18 through 23. And the thing I want to highlight here is just the differences among these men. Let's look at verse 18. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three, and he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain, howbeit he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of the pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30. But he attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard. So we see just some more examples of David's men here. Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah. We've heard about these men before. There were three sons of Zeruiah. They were, I believe it was cousins to David. But Asahel was the third brother there in that family. But this Abishai was another mighty man. He killed 300 with his spear. We're told he was most honorable of the three and the captain. And then Benaiah was an interesting man here. It says he slew two lion-like men of Moab. In some way, these men of Moab were like lions. Maybe they were bold and fierce. And then we're told that Benaiah slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. That would be a story that I'd like to know a little bit more detail about. I don't know that I want to go down in a pit with a lion, let alone in a time of snow, but evidently Benaiah did. And then we're told he slew a goodly Egyptian man, and he did that with that Egyptian man's own spear, plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Evidently, Benaiah had some hand-to-hand combat skills to be able to do that. But the scripture here points out the differences. With Abishai, he was one who killed a great number of people, 300. With Benaiah, he was somebody who didn't have the numbers, but he was able to still stand up for himself, stand up for David, one-on-one. But there are differences, and we have differences. And we have to learn to be content with the differences among God's people, with the different gifts that God's people have. And God doesn't intend for everybody to be in the same position, to have the same ministry. Just as in this list of men, we see men who had differing abilities, differing accomplishments, and the scripture even points out their levels, their degrees of service. And, we have to appreciate that and recognize that. And then the final thing that I want to point out here, this is number six. I should have maybe been numbering these, but we've seen, first of all, courage. Secondly, not quitting. Thirdly, not running away. Fourth, willingness. Then fifth, differences. And then finally, in verses 24 to 39, we have a list of a whole lot more men. I won't read all of them. It's basically a list and some sort of identifier of perhaps where these men were from or what family they were from. They were all part of David's mighty men. But we see that they were noticed. They were noticed by God. They were noticed by God. David evidently had a group of 30 that was kind of an exclusive group that served him, perhaps a secret service type of grouping. And we have more than that in these lists of David's mighty men. It may have been that that he tried to keep that number of 30, and some people, some men may have died. He had to replace them. And so perhaps that's why we have these lists here, a little more than that. But they were noticed by God. God considered their service to be important enough to be recorded in His Word. And that's all we know about them. We don't have any other story that goes along with these men. Perhaps some of them we can link with other cross-references. But God doesn't expound on that. And the only thing that we can take from that is just that God knows, and He wants us to know that He knows. And so as we think of ourselves, that should be enough for us that God knows. That God knows what we do. God sees our work for Him. And we need to be content with that. We need to be content with knowing that God knows and that God will reward and that we don't need to strive for human recognition, but to know that God knows is enough. David's mighty men served David, but they did so also in faith. They believed that God's hand and God's promises were with David. It took faith for them to follow in that way. And for us today, we don't serve David, but we serve David's son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we fight His battles spiritually. We serve Him. And we need to serve in the same way. Serve faithfully the Lord Jesus Christ with courage, not giving up, not running away, and with willingness to do whatever we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You would help us to serve You willingly. We see all that You have done for us. You have died on the cross, sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sins. You've saved us from our sins, from an eternity in hell. And so help us to be willing to serve You. Help us to do so with courage, with faithfulness, with contentment, knowing that You see what we do and You will reward us. And so we thank You for this reminder from Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.